My name is Galina Angarova. I come from the Abzai clan of the Hurrit Nation of the Buryat peoples in Siberia. I greet you from the traditional lands of the Multnomah people in Portland, Oregon. I serve as executive director of the Surge Coalition. We are a coalition of indigenous leaders from all seven sociocultural regions of the world and trusted partners that include organizations Batani Fund, Tallgrass Institute, Cultural Survival, Earthworks, Society for Threatened Peoples, and the International Working Group on Indigenous Affairs as an affiliate member. First and foremost, I would like to say thank you for joining us today. And I hope you are taking care of yourselves during these difficult times. And no matter how challenging it is or will be, please remember that throughout the history of human civilization, the lesson has always been that empires come and go, they rise and fall. Dictators and politicians also come and go, but people stay, communities stay. And this is why it is crucial for us to keep a long-term vision as peoples, as communities, and continue our resistance and relentless pursuit of justice, equity, human rights, and indigenous people's rights. We are at a pivotal moment in history as global initiatives to transition to new technologies are gathering speed. And countries and corporations are pouring huge amounts of funding into transition minerals extraction, development of renewable energy technologies, investments in electric mobility, and now artificial intelligence. There are reports that suggest that to make this transition possible, humanity will have to extract the equivalent of all extraction in all of its history. Moreover, countries are rushing to secure their supplies of transition minerals, placing communities amid a dangerous geopolitical competition, with numbers indicating that currently 54% of projects extracting transition minerals are on or near indigenous people's lands. Meanwhile, extractive industries keep pushing harmful narratives that suggest that societies must accept that environmental and social impacts are inevitable because there is no other way to solve the climate crisis other than to mine our way out of it. Similarly, we are witnessing how large-scale industrial agriculture is compromising the integrity of the soil, putting our food sovereignty at risk. So there is a need to transition away from these harmful practices that only benefit in lining pockets for just a few. So we came together as representatives of all seven sociocultural regions of the world to collectively define what a true just transition looks like for Indigenous peoples. So please read the outcome document if you can. This is what Indigenous self-determination looks like in practice as we chart a pathway to our priorities in this new context. So from this document, I would like to read the vision and meaning of just transition that we collectively defined at that meeting. Vision. For Indigenous peoples, a just transition means exercising our own forms of territorial governance according to our traditions and ways of life, to develop principles and protocols to guide the world towards healing from the multiple environmental crises as we face, to live in harmony with the natural world, and to ensure that our inherent role and responsibility is respected and supported through our own voices. Meaning, for Indigenous peoples, a just transition means exercising our own customary institutions and Indigenous peoples' governance systems based on our traditions and ways of life. It is a restoration of what we were, a return to wholeness, from the womb to our mother to the stars above us. It is our cultural right to be who we are, and our physical right to be healthy and have a good life, to be safe. We seek just transition until all of that is sacred is restored. We support global coordination, solidarity, and sharing of knowledge and experiences to inform collective advocacy for Indigenous people's solutions. The current implementation of the green economy and just transition often perpetuates colonial practices by violating Indigenous people's rights, disregarding free, prior, and informed consent. These activities are a rebranding of exploitative systems rather than genuine change. A true just transition requires a radical transformation of economic systems, aligning with Indigenous worldviews that prioritize sustainability, respect for nature, and cultural integrity. While concepts like co-management and joint management, co-jurisdiction, and cross-jurisdiction can sometimes protect ecosystems and involve Indigenous peoples in decision-making, they are often misused to undermine Indigenous rights. These frameworks can dilute sovereignty, fail to honor nation-to-nation treaties, and marginalize Indigenous authority over their lands and resources. But true equity, such mechanisms must prioritize and respect the inherent rights of Indigenous peoples as affirmed in the international and treaty laws, ensuring their leadership and consent in all processes. So the document contains 11 principles for just transition. So the first one is right to life. The second is right to self-determination and sovereignty of Indigenous peoples. Third, decolonization. Fourth, reparations, land back, full restoration of lands, territories, waters, and biodiversity. Fifth, respect for Indigenous peoples' ways of life. Sixth, transparency and accountability. Seventh, historical reparations. Eighth, full protection of Indigenous peoples. Ninth, recognition of Indigenous peoples' roles and responsibilities. 10th, maintaining 1.5 degrees. 11th, rights-based approach to supply chains. The document also contains 10 commitments for action and implementation. Please read the document. I would like to mention the commitment number 8. In line with the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, Article 10, Indigenous peoples have zero tolerance with regards to any forced evictions, displacements, relocation, dispossession, expulsion in the name of any development, including green transition projects and the creation of protected areas, and need to formulate a development model which does not create displacement. We are disseminating this document very widely, and we'll take it to our communities as well. And we prepare to advocate for the rights of Indigenous peoples in the new context. Finally, I want to say that we live in a time where our agency as individuals and communities has been systematically eroded. The industrial food system has hacked our microbiomes, our taste buds, dictating our cravings and preferences through engineered food and relentless marketing. Our likes and dislikes, our attention, and even our time has been colonized, leaving many of us addicted to and glued to our devices and technological fixes that disconnect us from ourselves and each other. And to reclaim our true agency, we must remember who we are at our core. We're beings deeply rooted in nature, not separate from it. Our bodies are extensions of Mother Earth. Our voices carry the echoes of our ancestors. And our purpose is to live fully, fully embodied lives and on this planet, not through the lenses of gadgets or artificial intelligence, but through direct, unmediated connection with the world around us. It is in remembering this truth that we find power, our true agency, and our voice that Mother Earth speaks through us. Thank you.